All right, my turn. I have the honor of sharing something with you guys today. Good thing, not bad thing. Don't be nervous. This is sort of a family meeting. We do these every once in a while. So if you're a guest, you're welcome to listen in. This is for people who consider Harbor their home church, that you've been coming here for some season of time. But if you're a guest, it's good for you to know how we do things around here. I'm coming up on 10 years being here myself. So I'm coming up on being one of the longest, or the longest, serving staff people here at Harbor soon. So it's an honor for me to share a little bit of the backstory of Harbor, where we come from and where we're headed. 22 years ago, in 1996, a group of church leaders began praying for a new church community. They recognized the need. We need a new church that can take these timeless truths and communicate them in creative ways, in contemporary ways. And then in 1998, exactly 20 years ago, they began fundraising. A church called Bedford Christian Church made a difficult but important decision to close their doors and to take all of their assets, all of their money, and pool it together somewhere around the neighborhood of $300,000, and gave it to a group of three young men and their wives that were age 25, 26 years old to start a new church. Can you imagine if we proposed, hey, we're going to close our church and we're going to take a group of the young adults and just give them like 500 grand and see what they do with it? It's pretty remarkable step of faith. And in November of 1999, Harbor of Hope Christian Church was born. And their vision was to help people find their way back to God, that we were with God in the beginning, and that somehow along the way, we've lost our way, and we all need to be invited back in to the family of God, much like the prodigal. We chose the name Harbor of Hope because ships need a harbor. Ships need a place to come in from the open sea and to rest and be poured back into and built back up and then sent back out. Ships aren't designed for the harbor. Ships are open, designed for open sea. And so that's exactly what we have done. Over the last 20 years, there have been thousands of people that have come through this church community. We have somewhere around 3,400 names and families of people that have been in this church for some season of time. Not just guests, but people that were part of this church over the last 20 years. They came, they were built up, and they were sent back out to serve and bless the world. We've had hundreds of baptisms. We have stories of life change and videos online that you can watch. Spouses have met each other here. They've gotten married here. They've had kids here. People have become grandparents here. For the last 20 years, this community in the basement of a little mill has been shaping the surrounding community outside of these walls. And we have no intention of stopping. In fact, that's what I want to talk about here today. The reality is that our budget year over year for the past 3 years has been getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Okay. Our leadership has been tightening the belt, appropriately so. It's wise to respond in seasons of transition, to respond to what's coming in and not just set a number, a target on the wall and say, let's believe God, and hit this number. It's like, no, sometimes you just have to have the reality of what are coming in as donations and who are here as volunteers and working with what you've got. And it's also an important note that for the past couple of years, we've had ministry-specific fundraisers. So we have a responsible budget, but then we say Kids Harbor or Women's Harbor or HSM or any of these other ministries, if you need money, raise money, and you can ask people for money. So it's like you might feel like, oh, we have these little initiatives all the time, and we're also changing that. We want to bring everything back into one central budget and to resource the ministries appropriately and give them what they need to continue to do excellent work, but to just have one place, one fund where everything is coming and then everything goes out from there. So I want to show you guys a chart of our annual giving year over year. And in this chart, this is just from 2011, this chart starts at $500,000, just so you know. The bottom of that's not zero. But this is just showing the variance along the way. And our goal today is to mark a change in that. Leading up to our 20th anniversary next fall, we want to reverse this trend and begin setting a foundation, a strong foundation for the next 20 years of ministry. If you've ever lived paycheck to paycheck, like my wife and I certainly have at times, you know how difficult it is to dream about the future and finances and what if we were creative with our generosity and what's the next season of our life going to look like. No, the reality is week to week, you're crunching numbers and you're seeing what's going to come in and you're a lot of times barely scraping by. And we as a church community want to stop living like that, because honestly, we've been living like that for the past 2 or 3 years. And after a while, I've heard these conversations going on internally, and this isn't like I drew the short straw and so I had to get up and talk. It was like I wanted to share this with you guys. I didn't want Jake to share it because I still want you guys to like him. I'll be the guy to share all this stuff, and whatever, you can run me out of here with the pitchforks. Today we're asking for 100% participation, and we want to, over the next year, see a 20% increase in our giving, in our budget. That's our faith goal. And so instead of having this budget of 514, which has been lower than, it's lower than where we were at in 2011, instead of that, let's reverse that. Let's raise 20% above that. And I want to also address, just in light of recent news with televangelists asking for more money for more jets and airplanes and everything, the elders and the leadership, the budget for 2018-19 is already locked in, okay? So this isn't like no money that comes in is going to go to someone's salary or pay or increase or anything like that. We have no plans to buy a jet. But I just want you to know that, because I know as soon as we start talking about money, you're like, and especially if you're a guest here, ask someone around you how often we do something like this. It's not very often. Okay. It's not often at all. The last thing that I want to do is I want to peel back the curtain a little bit about what it takes to run this ship and to share a little bit of the statistics behind it. They're anonymous. Don't worry. Anonymous statistics about our church. We can show that first slide of the giving breakdown. Just about 40% of our church, 4 out of 10 families, this isn't including kids, this is family, 40% of our church don't give financially to this church at all. So if you're in a row of 10 people, 4 of you don't give financially at all. And that's okay. We're addressing that. We're talking about that. There's no shame in that. Maybe no one has ever sort of challenged you in that or invited you into giving and supporting a local church community. There's no shame in that, but we do want to challenge you. If this church is your home church and you're blessed by this church, and whether it's basically the preschool and the children's programs that we run, or the cafe, or the counseling services, or the worship gatherings, or the people that you meet with and pray with, or the friends and the home groups that you're a part of, whatever it is, if this church community is blessing you at all, we would challenge you to begin giving somehow. $10 a month, $25 a month. Something that is specific and tangible and contributes to some certain degree of participation. Because our goal in this is to see 100% participation. And if we have 40% of us, we just take a whole section and say, all right, you guys you're not going to contribute at all. This wouldn't work in a family, you know. When kids get older, and if kids get older and still live at home, you have the inevitable conversation like, hey, when are you going to chip in for groceries, you know? Or, you know, time to pay for your own cell phone bill, kid, you know? That's kind of what this is. We're all adults here. We all have very different ranges of income and amounts of debt and all of that kind of stuff. We're not being foolish, and we're keeping our eyes wide open to that. And in fact, if someone says, hey, would you consider giving $25 a month to your church home, and that begins to get your blood pressure elevated, that might be a sign of financial unhealth. It might be a sign that you are in a place where if you don't have the margin for something like that, that should be something that catches your attention. And we have team members here. We have people like Steve Athanas, who runs classes like Financial Peace University. He's gotten people out of six-figure debt And it doesn't matter what your income is, what your level of debt is. We want to hear from you. We're expecting you. Come out of the woodwork. Let us help you figure out your finances so that you can live with peace and not all of this anxiety and worry that Jake has been talking about. The next section of our community is about 19% of our church, and they give $10 a month or less. Okay? That makes up about 0.95% of our community. If you're one of those people that give $10 or less a month, if you're able, we would ask and encourage you to increase that somehow, just to participate in this campaign. The next 31% of givers make up around 43% of the overall budget. And their gifts range in size from $100 a month to $500 a month. This is a group of people that make up a large percentage of our church community. They're very generous, and obviously it makes up a large part of our operating budget. The last 10% gives over 56% of our annual budget. So there's somewhere around 30 families here at this church that give 56% of the operating budget. Now, some of that is due to their income being significantly more than average. Some of it is simply due to the fact that they're incredibly generous. And these 30 families give between $1,000 and $3,000 a month. And that is radically, radically generous. And obviously, it has allowed us to keep our doors open. The reason I share all of this is because it's important to see what it takes to keep this ministry alive. No one on staff is getting rich. If any of you school teachers want to talk to us about comparing salaries, we're happy to. Okay? This is not that at all. This is completely transparent. The reality is that many of the families in the 40% that don't contribute, they can begin giving. You can begin giving at $25 or $50 or $100 a month and begin to spread the weight of this ministry across our entire church. And it can make an enormous difference. Those 30 families that make up 56% of our budget, we are incredibly grateful for. And if you're here, your next beer is on me. No, if you're here, free coffee forever. You can get a little silver badge. No, the thing that it's not... these people you don't know. A lot of these people are in leadership. A lot of these people make up our elder teams and our ministry directors and our journey group leaders. These are people that not only are just contributing a large amount of money to see this thing continue to thrive, they're also leading this place spiritually. This isn't just this one dimension any which way. So, we want to see 100% participation. We want to see that last column disappear. Even if that means all of those people are giving $1 a week or $10 a week or whatever it is, we just want to see 100% participation. That's our dream. It's not to hit some big number and to become some mega church or something like that. We just want to live with enough ability to forecast and dream and not worry about keeping our lights on next month. This is all paired with launching a new tool. We're launching a new tool that makes giving easier and more secure than ever. There's a number of ways to get into it. You can go to harboroofhope.org/give. You can also, and I want to show you this because it really is remarkably easy. Any of you guys that give with Apple Pay or like to donate online or use a debit card, I would encourage you not to use a credit card unless you're just trying to get the points and you're super responsible. That's fine. I'm looking at you, Kristen. But debit cards, if you want to, you can take out any smartphone and type in 77977 to the to field. So that's like who you're sending the text to. That's their phone number, 77977. And then you would just type in Harbor of Hope, all one word. It can be all caps. It can be all lowercase. It doesn't matter. And you send the text, and you'll get a text back that has a link in it. And that links through to secure form, 100% encrypted, all of that stuff. And from there, you can set up a recurring gift. You can give a small gift monthly, weekly. But that sort of predictability allows our leadership to look at our community and say, my goodness, we have 200, we have 300 people that are giving monthly, and they're able to see what's coming in. They're not just like hoping when they open these offering boxes that there'll be enough money to keep the lights on in the next couple months. And that's a reality. That's a reality of where we are. Our leadership, Kelly, all of them have done a phenomenal job of not showing their cards and being nervous about where we are financially. We trust God, but we also trust in difficult conversations. And I'm willing to have those conversations. I'm willing to call a little family meeting and saying, hey guys, here's where we're at. And a lot of us aren't pulling our weight. That's okay. There's no shame in that. We're not putting your names up on the, we're not keeping track of any of that. We just want people to own this thing. We want people to begin to participate and contribute at whatever level is responsible and feels faithful to you. That you're giving sacrificially, you're giving in a faithful way. In the next few weeks, we're gonna celebrate what has come in as recurring. We're not asking you to pledge anything, we're not asking you to do anything like that, but we're just asking to look at these recurring donations that have been set up so that we know, and we're gonna celebrate what has come in. And hopefully in the next couple weeks, we can say that we have 20% pledged above where we were forecast to go and where we were forecast to be. And that will set a foundation, a solid foundation for the next 20 years of ministry. I'd love to pray for us, and then we'll sing. We're going to close with a song and then go out with our day. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your great generosity towards us. From the first breath that we took to the lives that we're living today, our lives have been marked by your generosity. The ways in which you provide and the ways in which you creatively surround us with what we need to survive. Sometimes it's financially, sometimes it's the right people at the right time, or the right sermon at the right time, or finding the right community to be a part of at the right time. I pray, Lord, that there is zero shame in this room, that this isn't any sort of emotional manipulation. This is just sharing where we're at and asking people to join us and to contribute as they see fit. Father, I'd ask that you would protect us and continue to help our leaders and our elders be good stewards of every single dollar, that every single dollar is marked by helping people find their way back to you. None of this is for us or for our glory. It's for you and for your glory. We trust you, Lord. We ask that you provide through the people in this church for the future of this church. And we pray this in your Son's precious and holy name, the name of Jesus. Amen.